What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to The Good, The Bad and The Stupid. It's Thursday, the 2nd of July. Coming at you from a wonky video screen because my tripod is still playing up. Ooh, missus. I'm on about the tripod on my video camera. But I've got the elastic bands out, you know, the emergency elastic bands and a pencil stuck in the back of my camera tripod, not my tripod. That would hurt. Anyway, speaking of A&E, what's it called? A&E, the doctors are all getting prepared. It's going to be like the first day of COVID-19. Well, not quite, but all the doctors now are all getting prepared for the fucking influx of drunken idiots to come in at the weekend on the first day of the pubs opening. It's going to happen. A&E is pretty much almost fucking awash with that on a normal day. So imagine on the first day that the pubs open, it's going to be fucking chaos. It's going to be like the Wild West in the A&E. They'll probably have to have bouncers up there and everything. Bouncers, security is going to be kicking off. People are just going to be having a great time, really. But, you know, a great time can always end up with... I remember once I was having a great time. I fell over and nearly had a taxi run over my head. So I was very lucky for that taxi driver to be fucking on guard and put his brakes on. And all it was I wasn't even that drunk, but I tripped over the curb. I was drunk enough to trip over the curb. But I fucking just saw a tyre right in front of my face. And believe me, I think about that. Every time I'm drinking now, it actually put me in a position where I'm careful at the very least. Or at least I let somebody else walk on the roadside. I prefer to fall through a window than fall in the road. I've done that as well. Aristocrat. What's it called? A guy who's saved by beer. You got those people who are going to be injured and put in hospital because of beer. This guy was actually saved by a can of cider, had his life saved. He's an aristocrat. Aristocrat, don't know why we need to know that. He's an aristocrat, pal of the Queen. So what? But he basically was ran over by cows. He was attacked by cows. So even cows were going, you know what? That fucker has been born with money. He's had money all his life. Doesn't even know what it's like to fucking live on the edge and have to fucking scrimp and hustle for money. I'm just going to fucking trample the bastard. That's what the cow was thinking. So the cow was after him. And then he had a can of Strongbow in his rucksack. And the rucksack, the can, took the full force of the cow on his back, and he managed to survive it. A cattle attack, they're calling it. A cattle attack on an aristocrat, saved by a can of Strongbow. So his Strongbow is more usually a drink of the working class, so, you know, maybe he's trying to be down with the kids or be down with the skints. You know, fucking... He should be drinking a bottle of Bolle with a fucking... a few truffles and what's it called? I was checking it. I thought my camera wasn't rolling. Fuck me. That stopped me in my tracks. I thought, if I've just said all that and it hasn't been recording, that's going to be gold lust because you know how good that just has been for the last 3 minutes. I'm only joking. Anyway, so yeah, he's been run over by a cow, but he survived it. So there you go. If you're ever going to run through a field of cows, they can and will attack you if they fancy it. So if you look like you're rich, stuck up, and a fucking bit of a knob, they're going to come for you. Because cows ain't stupid. And they know they're fucking about to be killed. So they think, well, let's take somebody with us if we get the chance. Why not? And he's aristocrat. He's 100% got something to do with the fucking slaughterhouse, probably. Is it his farm? I don't even know if it's his farm. No, he's walking to a picnic spot near his estate. So he might do. He might buy them cows free range. You know what I mean? Straight off the fucking farm shop that's on the thing. So the cow was just coming, doing one for his ancestor. Going to come and trample you, try and kill you. Anyway, I've milked that one, literally. Anyway, let's move on. Lidl's retro trainers. Lidl of selling trainers. They're actually quite funky little trainers, to be honest, but I don't know if I'd wear them, but they're £14 in Lidl, and they've been selling them. People have been selling them on eBay for £450. Fuck. So if you can get hold of any, get yourself fucking on eBay straight away, because people have fucking been dumb and don't realise you can go and pick them up in Lidl for 14 quid. Why don't you just put an order into Lidl? You know, but they can't be sold out everywhere. Maybe they are, but they're asking 450 quid. Somebody else has got them up to 100 on an auction at the minute. Somebody else 242. But they've got a big Lidl stamp on the front. You know, I remember when fucking at school, the cheap trainers, everyone used to take the piss out of you. You know, if you had some Gola on or Dunlop, Dunlop was the laugh of the junior school. Nothing wrong with them. In fact, Dunlop, I quite like them now. But if you weren't wearing Nike or Adidas or something like that, people would be like, Dunlop, Dunlop fucking, Dunlop dunce, or Gola. The Gola fucking trainers that people didn't like. But they're cool now, I like them. But they didn't go down when you was 10. If you were 10, you were going to get bullied for that shit. So imagine if you went into school with a pair of Lidl £14 trainers. You're going to get the fucking shit kicked out of you. But I guess people are trying to make them cool by spending a fortune on them. Trainers are big money. If you can get into that game, know when the new trainers are coming out or the limited edition, you grab a pair. You fucking always flip them straight away. As soon as they sell out, people are buying them online. That's a good market. I might even have to fucking get it. The best one, was when somebody sold some Nike ones the other month. And they were dirty. They looked like they'd just been... they ran around the world. They were that, like, worn and, like, muddy and fucking... There was nothing, hardly anything left of them. Because it was just a certain pair, £250,000... £250,000 in a dirtiest pair of trainers. You wouldn't have picked them off the shelf in a charity shop. So there you go. There's clues there. There's you know, there's money to be made, and it's one man's junk is another man's treasure. So all you got to do is find the buyer. I've got fucking out. I've got a garage full of shit that I've got to do that for. I'm working on it. Lockdown. What's it called? Spud the Travelling Hamster is a Coronation Street Squeak Star. Somebody's made a Coronation Street made a little bar for like a Coronation Street little bar for a gerbil, a hamster. This is his cage, and he's also got like a little gallery, National Art Gallery, with pictures of himself around. And he's got a little gerbil, and he walks around his own, and he's got a little tube station where he's waiting, a bus stop. He's got a bus stop in there as well. That's a lot. He's got a lot going on for a gerbil. I mean, is it a gerbil or hamster? It's a hamster. Excuse me, it's a hamster, beg your pardon. But then he lived to about two. Oh, he's from Birmingham, that's it, good on him. He's a Brummie hamster. I'm from Birmingham. He's got a Brummie squeak, like I've got a Brummie squeak. He sounds like me, a little bit, on a smaller scale. But he's only got a short lifespan. I hope to live a little bit longer than the hamster. Hamster's about 2 years, aren't they? Spud, his name is. Spud. If you want to get in touch, I think he's got to have an Instagram page or whatever. Spud from Birmingham. And he loves his little... he's got a picture of him there on his two hind legs, looking up at the gallery, looking at pictures of himself. But he thinks he's something special. But he is, in my book. He's from Birmingham. Of course he's special. Not everybody from Birmingham is special. Just me, him, and a couple of other people. A hen... What's it called? Speaking of animals, I've not put these in any order. The chips are falling where they may, and they seem to just run in course, luckily, for you. Otherwise, this would be a very disjointed podcast, because I ain't got time to do that organising stuff. In fact, organising is probably one of my worst traits. I'm fucking terrible at it. So anyway, maybe that lends itself to this podcast. I don't know. Maybe not, because there's not a lot of listeners. Anyway, a hen did a real life chicken run escape when she got trapped under an egg lorry trailer and travelled 90 miles without ruffling a feather. She went on a little run from London to Lincolnshire, or was it the other way around? No, Lincolnshire to London. So she's gone to see the sights. I hope somebody saves its fucking life and doesn't send it off to be killed now. Staff caught her and put her in a box. She was where she promptly laid an egg. So she's had a baby on the trip. She's pregnant. The RSPCA took her under their wing after the two-hour trip. That's good. I can't think of anything worse than that fucking chicken doing a run like that. Escaping, going off. I've seen it before. I mean, obviously some people save them, but there was a cow that escaped and it went off running down the road. and I think it got miles away or whatever. And they caught it. Sometimes they take it to it was ran off from a slaughterhouse, and they give it the benefit of the doubt, or say, you know, give it a chance, a second chance at life, and go and put it out in some kind of sanctuary. But they caught this one, and they but took it back straight back to the slaughterhouse and killed it. Fucking bastards. The cow deserved. I mean, the cow probably was slightly unaware and frightened, but if that cow could have just fucking steamed into the guy who was like trying to take him back, or just decided to just become a cannibal cow and eat the human, or attack him, bite him. Well, unfortunately, they're a bit too docile, aren't they? Apart from the one earlier on that tried to kill the aristocrat, that one had a bit of fucking cow bollocks about it. Anyway, the chicken, so he's on a run. He's got down to London, had a little look around, and now he's back on the RSPCA, looking for a home, forever home, with his little baby. Maybe what they did with the chicken, with the egg. I've seen now, we saw it the other week, where somebody fucking put some eggs out of Waitrose under the heat, and they hatched. So if you want some free chickens, that's all you got to do by the looks of it, because they're fucking still alive in there. So when you're fucking cooking them on a fried egg or whatever, that was borderline a life. Well, they are anyway, aren't they? But I always thought that them eggs were the ones that were deemed to be non-fertile, but clearly not. I tell you what, it's fucking... It gets worse, all that dairy industry and the animal industry. What was I going to say? Greg Wallace, speaking of food and people who eat a lot of it, Greg Wallace off the MasterChef, the one who gives really cheesy references on the... I like that sponge. Oh, that was a really nice custard on the MasterChef. is back. I talked about him a while ago when he went visiting Zulus. There's a photo of him with the Zulu tribe, and they look like they're about to fucking eat his ball. He's got like an head like a bald egg. They look like they were about to fucking crack his bald egg with one of their spears and kill him for upset, you know, trying to go over there and meet Zulus. He didn't look right. They looked like he had all the dress. He was dressed like them and everything. He just looked like, he looks a bit like, what's he called? Mr. Magoo. That's the word. But they looked like they were going to kill him, because they're a tribe and whatever else. But they obviously let him survive, because he's back. And he's doing a gym. He's getting into ripped shape after years of the doctor's warning about his high cholesterol. And now he's like, there's all. I keep seeing him doing press ups and pictures of him in the paper, getting all like showing off his six pack and all that kind of stuff. Now he's talking. He wants to get onto Love Island. Come on, Greg, rein it in a bit. You're not getting onto Love Island. You're about 40 years too late for that. But you might get on the Carry On film. Or two with your cheesy like food lines. Ooh, that custard! I could lie in bed with that custard forever, or something like that. I'm making these up, but it's along those lines that he comes out with. Oh, that I really like what you've done with that tart. Stuff like that. Anyway, Paul Chuckle. Speaking of cheesy lines, I tell you what, I have put these in some kind of order subliminally. Paul Chuckle says his brother Barry Chuckle, the one that died. He's haunted. Well, he's not haunting him. He's his brother, isn't it? He's his friendly ghost, unless he's like harassing him. But he's haunting him and helping him write jokes, apparently, from beyond the grave. So he's a funny ghost to have around. He'd become a bit annoying after a while, because he's still stuck in character as the ghost, isn't he? And the Chuckle Brothers surely can't behave like the Chuckle Brothers all fucking day long. They do it for the act, don't they? For the TV. After that. That's the same as a lot of people. They'll be like that. Or like when I saw David, what's his name? Oh, fuck. I'm not good with my names at the moment. The guy who does the antiques and everything. David, fuck. Anyway, not David, fuck. That's not his name. Oh, bollocks. Anyway, I saw him in town, and he gave me a big smile like that for a photo. I was trying to get him to do a photo. And he gave me a big smile. And then as soon as we finished, he gave me pulled a right dirty look, because he only did it for the camera, you know, giving it the professional. But afterwards, he was like, "Yeah, fucking leave me alone." I only did it for a joke, but that's the same with the Chuckle Brothers. They might be miserable bastards when they put the camera away. But his brother, the ghost, he's probably like going, "Yay, to me, to you, as he's like in the background, like he's going, "Where are you, Barry? Fuck off, will ya? Just leave me alone. I'm trying to have some me time. I'm starting to fucking be glad that you died." Anyway, but they were quite funny. Anyway, and they're kids' TV, but. Adults, how many times have you heard adults going, to me, to you? That's like as famous as any line. Nearly as famous as Cannon and Ball. What's it called? Rock on, Tommy. That's a bit old now, but anybody else with Bobby Ball pulling on his braces going, "Rock on, Tommy," to Tommy Cannon. Cannon and Ball. And they're like a modern day version of the Chuckle Brothers. Anyway, I've got a ghost here, Dave the Ghost. He ain't even half as funny as Barry Chuckle would be. He's more of a pervert ghost. He keeps listening in on my sexual. When I do sexual references on this podcast, he usually swings the door open. If you haven't watched one of my previous podcasts, you'd know about that. You better start. If you stick around, you might just meet him. He's been around. He might fucking throw something at me after saying he's not funny. I'm sorry, Dave. You are. You're not unfunny. It's just you seem to only show up on the podcast when I'm talking about sex. Anyway, speaking of sex, Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris, has given up on trying to label her sexuality after dating a man that had a vagina. What the fuck? Is that the sexual world is getting even more... I'm as open-minded as they come, but even the world is getting very strange now. There's men with vaginas... And that's not for her. I mean, she dated a man. He just happened to have a vagina. So I guess she's obviously been a lesbian. She's gay, rather. Had male flings, and now she's dating a man with a vagina. So she's confused as to what sexuality she is. Well, you just get around, don't you, by the sounds of it, and you're enjoying yourself. So I don't think you have to put a label on it. Why does somebody have to be something or nothing? Why do you have to be gay? Why do you have to be straight? Why do you have to be whatever? Can't you just have sex and that's it? You know, don't have to call it anything, do you? I guess you have to, if you're married, you have to fucking pretty much obvious or straight with whoever's in the marriage with you. Otherwise, you know, we might be calling you Philip Schofield after he fucking didn't tell his wife for 35 years that he was gay. You know, pull one of those stunts. That's not comedy. That's fucking very, very, very far from funny if you was the person receiving that news. Anyway, last one. Former Formula One boss Bernie Ecclestone. Talking of sex, former Formula One boss Bernie Ecclestone, he's still fucking having it at fucking 99, 89. I've just put 10 years on him. To be honest, he looks good for 89. But then he's a billionaire. Who wouldn't look good at fucking 89 for a billionaire, as a billionaire? Anyway, he's just had a baby with his 45-year-old, his wife, who's 45 years his junior. They've just had a baby. So his baby is going to be looking up at, that's like a Benjamin Button, two worlds apart. You know, like the baby's like the one end of the scale, and the father's and the fucking, the dad's on the far end of the scale. He's just about to born. He's just about to pop his clogs. But anyway, it's whatever. He's obviously taken some fucking, he's high on money. He's obviously got, you know, he's stiff. He's still getting it up. He's still like, I expected Dave the Ghost to turn up now talking about sex again. But Bernie Ecclestone is still fucking doing it. He's like, you know, he's got his Formula One car on pole position. And he's now... showed his worth to his young wife, who's now going to be heir to a lot of that money. So she's happy. The baby's happy. He's going to die happy. Maybe during one of his sexual escapades. But that's dying happy in my book. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. And hopefully you've enjoyed it. And I'll do another one tomorrow. See you later. Bye.